has the experience done for you?
The experience, in the, you can't wait to forget about it. It's not a pleasure trip. And I went right back to work as a refrigeration mechanic, which is what I did before the war. And I was making $1.75 an hour, which was journeyman's wage at that time. And I saw an ad in the paper that if you're the best refrigeration mechanic and can prove it, and are willing to come out at your own expense, and you want to work a lot of hours, we'll pay you $11 an hour and $22 an hour for overtime. And that was from the Flamingo Hotel, Bugsy Siegel. And I came out by train, because it was cheaper, 3.5 days, and I knew I'd get the job, which I did. Interesting story. At that time, the strip was called Fifth Street. You know that. And Tropicana was called Bond Road.
What is it now?
Bond Road. Sahara, there was no Sahara, was called San Francisco Avenue. The owner of the hotel that I stayed at, there were two hotels on Fifth Street. The Last Frontier, different hotel than what's there now. And El Rancho Vegas. I stayed at El Rancho Vegas, $6 a night. If I gambled, it wouldn't have cost anything, but I wasn't gambling. And Belden Cattleman liked me because I worked 6 days a week, 16 hours a day. Well, that was the reason they paid that kind of thing. They were behind in their schedule, and Bugsy Siegel was afraid he was going to get killed, which later on he did. I'm sure you know that.
Yes.
And he, one slow night, I'd have dinner. After I get off work 11 o'clock at night and be back at work at 7 the next morning. And I'd eat at the, they call it buffet now. Then they called it Chuck Wagon. In those days, both hotels had Chuck Wagons. So Belton Cattle said, "I know why they call your boss Bugsy." I said, "Not to his face." He said, "Everyone knows this town cannot support three hotels." And we were building the third hotel, way out of town. Do you want to hear these little stories?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes, this is the reason.
Incidentally, my eyes are tearing. I told you I had drops so that it looks like I'm crying. I'm not.
Okay, good. I don't want to make you cry.
No.
Okay. So I'd like to hear more about both Belton Cattleman and about the employment process. Once you got here, what did you have to do in order to get the job?
Nothing. The boss of the job. I never met Bugsy Siegel, ever. I met Virginia Hill.
Oh,
was she gorgeous.
Well.
I can never understand why a gorgeous lady like that became a prostitute, which she was. I just could never understand that. She was absolutely, when she would pass, men would go like this.
Now,
I remember I was 25 years old at the time and single.
Now, I thought she was his girlfriend.
She was his girlfriend, but she was a prostitute before that.
Prior to, okay. Tell me how the businesses were run at the time, as far as you know. How, so did Siegel have someone here doing all of the work, all of the leg work, or did he come in and out of town? How did he put all of this together?
He came in and out of town. I'll give you an example of how the mob worked. When Caesar's Palace was built, there were three partners, Sarno, Mallon, Stan Mallon, and Nate Jacobson. The head of the casino representing the mob was a guy by the name of Lonnie Zarowitz. Is that name familiar to you? Yeah. I was present when he said to Jay Sarno, the boss, see this color carpet? That's where you walk. See this color carpet? This is the casino carpet. That's where you don't walk. He says, if you ever step over the line, you'll never get back to the other side. Right out in the open. And Jay Sarno couldn't walk into the casino in his own hotel.
So who actually operated it?
The mob.
And it was that blatant?
Oh, absolutely.
How did the people who lived here accept that? How did they feel about that?
Many of them were connected with them. A lot of them.
So after the job of building the Flamingo,
we were finished, I think they opened Christmas Day of 1946. Incidentally, a lot of people don't know, 3 months later they closed. You do know that. And then, of course, they opened up again, and it's probably one of the most successful casinos in the city today.
So did you continue to work there after it opened, after construction?
No.
So how did you go?
I worked there from August to December.
So by that time, did you have a little a nest egg with the kind of hours you were working?
I had a little nest egg. I brought it back to New York where my father was still alive, and we were in the what was called the fixture business. We used to make walk-in coolers and display cases for butcher shops. And then we branched out into supermarkets. And in 1950, this was 46, 10 years later, I had sold my company for $1 million. So I was a millionaire at the age of 30, whatever, 1956.
And then what did you do?
I worked for the company that I sold out to and invested some money, and I had some good investments and went into a lot of other businesses. I've been in over 200 businesses.
What brought you back to Las Vegas?
I bought a company in California called DEC, Design Equipment Construction. And they did a lot of work in Las Vegas. So that's what brought me back.
When you left, did you ever think you would move back?
I don't remember what I thought at that time.
Okay. So that company was already investing in, you were already working in Las Vegas as a result of that company.
Right.
So tell me what you did at that point. Did you start buying a home at that point?
No. Mm-hmm. In 1970, we bought few partners of mine and myself bought a nursing home on Shadow Lane, closed it down, and built it into a hospital called Valley Hospital. And we bought some homes in the area, and I lived in several of them until 76. Then I built a home where I live now.
Okay. Is that in that same area?
Scotch 80s.
Okay.